Welcome, everybody, to this week's episode of the Main Street Business Podcast. Excited to be here with you. My name is Mark Kohler, CPA, attorney, entrepreneur.
Heck of a good guy.
Whatever. Heck of a good guy. And I'm here with my... Yeah, Scoutmaster is what you said? Back in the good old days.
That too, but podcaster.
Oh, podcaster. Yeah, that too. And I'm here with the amazing... That voice you're hearing is the amazing Matt Sorensen, also an attorney, tax attorney, president of Directed IRA Trust Company, and just a cyclist. You should call him a biker. But he's like, I don't have a Harley. I have a cycle.
Bicycle. <Yeah. laughs> This is true.
Bicycle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And lives in Arizona. I'm coming to you out of Salt Lake today. We broadcast from different locations each week sometimes as we're out and about. This is a busy time of year. We got a lot of workshops coming up this fall, but excited to be here with you. Matt, welcome.
Yeah, thank you. And to those who may be new to this show is all about saving on taxes, building wealth, protecting your assets, getting your life in order financially. That's what we're really all about here. So, and today we're just going to be right in that line. Talking about one big expense many of us have, want to get a tax deduction for, and that's healthcare. It is healthcare. Huge. Ooh. How much money is spent on healthcare. We all spend it, whether you're going to the dentist, the chiropractor, the therapist, the surgeon. There's a lot going out in medical, and we want to do it in an efficient way and get some tax deductions for it.
Yeah. Drug rehab, plastic surgery. I mean, all those... You know, the fringe write-offs, you know, those little goodies.
Yeah. So stay tuned to see how you can write off some of these things. Yeah. I was going to make a joke there. I kind of refrained. I was going to make a joke about implants or something. And I thought, you know, we don't want an E rating on another episode of the Main Street Business Podcast. I'm just going to.
Yeah. No, we were thinking of implants in your ear for hearing.
There you go.
You know, the cochlear those are implants. Those are big. That's what I thought you were talking about. I don't know what you were talking about.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So before we jump into the healthcare expense realm, and we're going to talk about health insurance, dental, chiropractic, all the above, everything Matt just rattled off. It's a huge cost in everybody's life. Whether you're a small business owner, an investor in real estate, which we call you a small business owner in training, lots of good write-offs there too. We're going to hit it all, just ways that you can take advantage of these write-offs.
Even those of you that just have a day job and no side hustle even, there's still some things you can do. All right. There's still some strategies and things you can do. So I know a lot of our tax strategies we talk about are like awesome for business owners, real estate investors, but there's some healthcare strategies and you can use even if you don't have a small business, you don't even have a rental property. There's some ways to be smart on your healthcare to get some tax benefits.
Yeah. Now, just a couple housekeeping items. First, many of you may know already that this is simulcast on YouTube. So if you'd like to see our faces and you're doing a little YouTube watching at night and you'd prefer that, sometimes we have a whiteboard and we'll let you know so that you can make a note to watch the video of this podcast. But we're on all your podcast platforms. We ask if you enjoy this. Please share it. Give a 5-star review when you feel so inclined. It helps everybody else find the show and we really appreciate it. We put a lot of work into this. And next, we have got a number of events coming up this fall. And so we need to start planting that seed. They're live now on the website. A lot of times, I consider it kind of the workshop season. You know, everybody's getting back to school. You know, it's that back to school fall feeling. College football's in the air. And you're thinking, hey, do I need some continuing education before year end? What am I doing? My kids, my grandkids, my family members might be headed off to college. You see school buses driving around. Don't you get that feeling, Matt? I do. I don't know.
I mean, it's back to school. We need to learn too. You know, the adults, just because you're sending your kids off doesn't mean you're off the hook. You need to go back to school too. Always be learning.
Yeah, always. And I think that's a theme we've tried to emphasize over the years, but a lot of small business owners think, I'm a small business owner now. I don't have to worry about school or all this. Oh, yeah. You can join the School of Hard Knocks. Trust me. That's a lot of fun. Or you can attend a workshop once in a while. But Matt and I try to make our workshops very affordable. So let me just give you a few ideas. First, my business owner's workshop is now a two-day event. I have a basic and advanced. They roll right into each other on a Friday or Saturday. As you get on the website, you'll be able to see events in Chicago, Seattle, I couldn't do Seattle because we have conflict. So I'm doing Chicago, Orange County, Hawaii, and
Dallas
one day. Okay. That's right. And then I'm doing a virtual in where we'll be broadcasting, so you don't have to travel if that is inconvenient. This whole new Delta variant mass thing, I'm just on. Okay. Let's not even bring it up. We'll offend someone. Yeah, it's just a hot topic.
To kill the vibe on the podcast today.
kill the vibe. We don't want to kill the vibe. But if some of you are able to travel, it's always fun to be face to face. So go to the website, check out those dates, and you'll see them right there. And I try to make them really affordable, discount if you go to both days. And also, I'm doing some young adult financial training classes that are in the evening. I'm doing three locations. And that's a three-hour evening. It's great for kids anywhere from age 15 to 25, just kind of young adult age, how to start a small business while you're at college. We're going to talk about your first credit cards, building $1 million Roth. It's going to be a really great event. You'll see more promotion on that. That's going to be also in Dallas, Chicago, and Honolulu. And that's if you want to take a little family write-off trip. Come over to Hawaii for the two-day workshop and the family training on finances, bring the kids, you could write off a bulk of that trip. So that's going to be good. Then Matt, we've got our self-directing training. You describe it?
Go to SDIRASummit.com, SDIRASummit.com. And that is October 22nd and 23rd here in Scottsdale, Arizona. There's a golf tournament as part of that with some charity components of it. And then a full day of training. We'll have multiple classes going at the same time, so you could bounce over to stuff you may be interested in more than another one. Great networking opportunity. You know, we're going to have the whole band there. You know, the whole band's going to be there. A lot of attorneys from the law firm will be there. Mark and I, of course. Some of our leadership team at Directed IRA as well. Some of our board members and other successful investors that have built significant accounts are going to share some of the strategies and things they've done too.
And that's not going to be broadcast on the web. So if you want to attend the summit, please come. It's in person. Who doesn't like Phoenix in October? Oh,
it's beautiful. Amazing. I mean, it's late amazing. October too. You know, it's like 70s and 80s. Again, we're throwing golf in the mix. Why not? So it'll be a good time.
And on that note, last point is there'll be 200 to 300 people there. So lots of networking. You're going to be able to learn from other people that have $1 million Roth IRAs or retirement accounts and really a lot of fun classes. But just quickly, I'll say one example that was fun is we did our virtual broadcast in the spring, which is typical. We do it every 6 months. So the one in the spring is virtual. One in the fall is in Phoenix. We'll see how it goes. We're doing some other little evening and one day events for self-directed training. But we had a guy come on the virtual summit to learn about setting up Roths for his kids. He's like, I'm going to just tap in. I'm going to pay the couple $100, whatever. It was very affordable. And I'm just going to zoom into this piece. I really want to help my family and get their retirement accounts going. And within 30 minutes, he was like hooked. And he was like, how did you say, man? He came for what? And then he stayed.
Yeah, he said I came for the snacks but then ended up eating the whole Thanksgiving dinner. He's like, I came for the snacks, like Roth IRAs for my kids, and ended up eating the whole Thanksgiving dinner. So we do put a lot of content in these workshops, in the summit and in Mark's workshops. So you know, if you've liked the podcast in particular, I mean, it's even better live, and there's other like-minded people there. You get the benefit of hearing their questions and also just seeing a live format too is just different. And so we're looking forward to being back doing those.
Yeah. Okay. So enough said. We're giving you more dates. We'll have them down in the show notes, all the dates and the links to sign up. Corey, would you make sure we do that? Let's make sure we have the dates for each event and the links so people can get signed up. These are tax write-off weekends, folks. You can write off your airfare, your travel, your hotel, Uber, your mileage to get there if you're driving. And if I don't, Matt and I don't save you, oh my gosh, 10 times whatever you pay to come, we failed. So this is wealth building 101. You're just going to freaking love it. Okay. Medical expenses.
Whew. Yeah. Yeah. This is big because, we all spend it. You just can't, it's like, I saw a sign the other day, you have a 100% chance of dying. I was like, oh, okay. That's one way to put it.
That's a positive little, was that on a fast food restaurant marquee like McDonald's? You have 100%.
They were selling life insurance. So, accurate statement. You also have a 100% chance of having a medical bill. Like, you know, it's just unavoidable. You're going to get it. But here's the problem. Our tax system has made it, you have to do some maneuvers to deduct all these expenses you pay on healthcare. If you're just paying it and you're not thinking through and doing it in the right manner, you're not going to get a deduction. A lot of people think, oh, I'm tracking my medical. I take it to my accountant. And then my accountant, I never see it on my taxes. Like, it's this miscellaneous itemized deduction that you have to get, like, I don't know, what is it, 7.5% or something of your AGI in order to get one penny of those deductions. And so that's a really high threshold that 99% of people never meet. And they never get to have a deduction or a tax credit or anything for their medical expenses. And so, so we want to go through the strategies on how you can get that done. How can I get a deduction? How can I get a tax benefit in some way for all the medical I'm incurring?
And I like what you start with. We're just going to do low hanging fruit here. Let's just hit it, some base hits, make sure all of us are on the same page. And if some of you are able to take notes, this is really, really helpful. I've got a chapter in the Tax and Legal Playbook dedicated to this. There's even some wealth building strategies related to healthcare, which is maybe we'll save that as the creme de la creme. Just kind of that last little dessert item, Matt.
Okay.
You're the reveal at the end.
Okay. Kind of all right.
You know, I love let's make dessert. A deal. Let's make a deal. You're going to open that last briefcase and just
wow us. What was that show? I forgot about that show. They do the briefcase thing. What was that? Yeah. Anyways.
It's fun. Okay. It's fun. So here's the first point Matt made that I think we need to tell everybody. And a lot of young people that are just now getting into the tax system, because they're like, okay, I'm out of college, or I'm out of high school and I'm building a business, or I'm at college building something on the side. And all of a sudden you're like, what? I gotta pay taxes. My parents took care of that or whatever. And it's just kind of this, it's a sad day. I remember the day when my kids, each one of them at different age brackets, different scenarios, it was that day where they looked at me and said, now I know what you do, Dad. And this sucks. And all of a sudden they pay attention from that point forward. There's 17-year-olds selling books at my table at a workshop, and they're just like, oh, this is fun. Taxes? Yeah taxes are great. My dad makes it fun.
Then I became the cool dad helping my kids in college, you know, because then they're like, wait, my friends need help with theirs. Can you help them? You know? I was like, finally it came around, you know.
Yeah, finally I'm the cool dad. Yeah. So here's the first rule that all of you need to realize. If you're trying to itemize, and Matt talked about that, is it's the itemized versus standard deduction that everybody gets. And if you're trying to itemize, tracking all your medical and just throwing it on your 1040 like a Hail Mary, 99% of, in fact, the actual statistics are 97.8% or whatever of Americans can't even itemize their medical expenses. You either phase out or you take the standard. And so it's a joke. And a lot of people that are younger go, whoa, I thought I got to write off my medical. Well, you do, but like Matt said, you got to follow some maneuvers, some strategies, and we can blow this out of the world. I mean, out of the water. I mean, this is really an exciting world if you get into it. So,
yeah. And I think people doing their own tax return on TurboTax are like, it's asking me for my medical, and they're thinking it's going to matter. At the end of the day, they go hit there. They're looking at the bottom end of their taxes. It didn't help them at all. And that's because of these issues. You're more likely to take the standard deduction. And even if you do itemize, because you got mortgage interest or other stuff that, or you have good charitable contributions, you know, you're going to phase out, or you're not going to meet that 7.5% threshold. So because of that, you're going to need another strategy. So you got to do a strategy. You got to play the game, so to speak. So just know the rules so you know how to win the healthcare tax game here.
Yeah. And I want to give one example. So first point, everybody, don't itemize. If I find a client itemizing, we immediately have a conversation. So a lot of new clients that come into our tax firm, all of our attorneys that are doing a master plan with you, they're going to ask, are you healthy or unhealthy? What are you doing for your medical? All of our attorneys ask that. And you may go, man, my attorney's never asked me that. Well, you don't have a tax attorney. That's part of our plan. That's one of our top 10, top 15. So we got to talk about medical. So quick story. And this will be brief. 80 seconds. I don't know. 2 minutes.
I'll time you. 3 minutes.
Okay. Tomato, tomato. No, you don't have to. That's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
But I remember this vividly. This was back in the day. This is where once in a while I'd meet clients face to face because we became such a national firm because in one little town, you know, whatever, you help everybody in town. And then the next month you're like, oh, I guess I better start doing divorces and car accidents. But we started really quickly expanding into multiple states and nationwide because small business owners around America were looking for that solution. But I had this realtor couple come in, stay-at-home mom, 3 to 4 kids, and realtor dad, kind of our typical client, whether they're a plumber, engineer, accountant, doctor, dentist, electrician, just that great small business, quintessential couple. Husband, sometimes stay-at-home dad, sometimes stay-at-home mom. But that was the situation. And I remember his name was Kyle. This was...
It wasn't Phil. Phil from Modern Family? Yeah. No.
No, not Phil.
Okay.
Dunphy.
Yeah, Phil Dunphy. Okay.
Yeah, wasn't Phil. That would have been good. And Claire, you know, Phil and Claire sitting at my desk.
She's great, too.
I didn't remember that. So... they came in and sat down and we started going through all the strategies. And this is, I've learned so much in 10 years as well, but this is at least 10 years ago. But this strategy I shared with them is the same today. It's crazy. It's not like anything new. It's just, you need to discover it. And we want you to discover that plutonium today. But I looked at their return and they were making a couple hundred grand. Things were going well. Now, as Matt said, if you itemize and you make a couple hundred grand, if you have medical expenses, you can't write off anything until after 7.5% of your AGI. So if you have 200,000 of adjusted gross income, you're not writing anything off until after your 15,000th dollar and penny of medical. So if I had 16,000 in medical, I get to write off $1,000. It's just $1,000. That's just the way it works. So I look at their tax return and lo and behold, the last year, the year before, at least 3 years in a row, they had over $20,000 in medical. And I was like, oh my gosh. And they looked like pretty healthy people. I was like, what's going on? And the mood became fairly somber. They have an autistic child. And they said, we've got to do special education. It's fairly severe. We're doing physical therapy, speech therapy, and all these different things. And it qualifies as a medical deduction. I said, you're absolutely right. But you're not getting it. You're like writing off $3,000 or $4,000 of this. And they're like, oh, we never noticed that. And I just saw the train coming down the tracks. This was not good. And I said, oh my gosh, you're a small business owner. We could have done a health reimbursement arrangement. Do you have a health savings account? No. Do you have an HRA? No. Never even heard of them. And I said, if we do an HRA this year, you're going to be able to write off 100% of those medical expenses. And they're like, yay. And then they were so happy. And then about 5 seconds later, they said, hold it. Can we go back and do that? I said, no. And then it got worse. They said, you mean for the last 3 years, we could have written off over $75,000 of medical expenses for our autistic child? And I got emotional. I said, yeah. And both of them teared up. It was really a sad meeting because they realized how incompetent their accountant was. And they also realized that they had been hands off. And they took the blame too. They're like, Mark, we never asked for a tax strategy meeting. We never really took control of our tax return. And we say this over and over again. You're the captain of your ship. You're the one that freaking signs it. It's your tax return. You should understand the basics of it. And it was really, really sad. But from that point forward, 100% medical write-off with the HRA strategy for them. Now, that's not for everybody. That's different situations, yeah. But that was
yeah. Big moment. That's an awesome one. That's a good example to start because this can be a big one, the HRA. Now, let's unpeel this because, you know, we've got the great example here.
Unpeel it. You mean unpack it. Man, usually that's something
yeah,
I'd say.
Unpack it. Yeah, usually I, yeah.
Yeah. Unpack yeah. it. I'm unpeel like, it. Yeah. So we're going to put that unpeel? Peel back on the orange.
Yeah, we're going to put the peel back on.
Let's peel this away or let's unpack it. You know, yeah. It's been a long day, you know, man. You ought to see Matt on YouTube. It's not pretty.
You know, I've been sick this week. So not COVID, thank goodness. But I'm a little off. I'm a little off. I got my breakfast here that I still haven't ate as well. So. But I'm trying to power through. So
eating.
Okay.
Yeah, I've been right. eating. What do I say? I haven't ate yet. Eaten yet. I'm just saying, we're working on grammar in our office. Remember, most of our offices are in the country. And we have I remember. This is so funny. Remember Lacey that used to work for us?
Yeah.
And it was so awesome. One night I had to go to Walmart after work and it was like in the evening. And I'm headed back home and I'm walking through and I see Lacey and I'm like, I know you had an experience with her too. Yeah. I've told this story so many times. I can't remember if it was you or me that bumped into her and she said what she was getting. Was it you?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And it's a story. I mean, you bump into her and she's carrying this bag and what are you, yeah. Go ahead.
Like I'm just getting bullets and milk.
But there's a little draw to it. It's like, hey, how you doing, Lacey? Good. I'm just getting some bullets and some milk.
Like, okay. Just the essentials.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man. So
not a medical deduction, those two items. No. But okay, let's unpack the HRA, health reimbursement arrangement. Okay.
Strategy right. number one.
Okay. You got to be careful with me today. I'm going to get off on a lot of tangents. All right. Okay. Yeah, so, all right. The HRA. Now, this worked for, it was Kyle, not Phil Dunphy. What was his name?
Yeah, it was Kyle. Kyle.
We can do Phil and Claire if you like. I mean,
Let's go with Phil and Claire. Same situation.
Okay. Same situation. It works for Phil because Phil's self-employed. Okay. He's a real estate agent, self-employed. So in his business, whether he was a sole proprietorship or maybe his S corp, you do a family management company there, but the key starts at, am I self-employed? He can adopt a health reimbursement arrangement that allows him to, as the company, to reimburse expenses, medical, that are incurred by his dependents here, their autistic child. And there's no limit on it. Now there are some limits that have came in since, but for self-employed persons, no other employees, right? You could have 100,000 potentially in a year expensing the whole thing. So that's the basics of it in that there's no limit. I need a plan though. I need this health reimbursement arrangement plan adopted. That's why they can't go back in time because they didn't have the plan created and they can't go amend, but they can fix it moving forward. Get the plan incorporated. Start a reimbursement of the expenses in that year you're incurring them. And now you're taking a deduction at the business return level. It's not even showing up, but you're not itemizing it personally.
Yeah, you can 100%. Now, I have 2 hours of healthcare strategy training in my tax and legal library. So if you go to markjkohler.com, many of you are already members of the little library. It's lifetime. Once you buy it, and I reshoot videos every year, you get updated. So if you want to go dive deep on the HRA, there's some videos in the library. This is something we cover in our workshops, the 2-day. It's in the advanced portion. And there's a chapter on healthcare in my tax and legal playbook. I say all that because some of you are like, tell me more. Well, the problem is we only have this podcast. We could spend an hour on the HRA. But let me just reiterate a couple of things Matt said and say it a different way. Health reimbursement arrangements are not an HSA. It's not a use it or lose it plan. It's a reimbursement plan. You can adopt it for your dependents and your family as part of your business. You can take 100% write-off for these medical reimbursement expenses for your dependents who are working in the business. Because if you're a small business owner, we want all your family working in the business anyway. So you're knocking out several birds here with one stone. And this write-off is on the business return level or at the Schedule C level. Now, whether you're single or married, how much income you have, how much you have in medical expenses. That's going to change the structure of this. We might run it through your LLC. We might run it through a little family management support company. You can even use this support company to support your rental properties and take advantage of this. So you're like, well, I'm not a realtor, but I got five rental properties. That's great. You got medical expenses and rental properties. We got a strategy. So we construct this little structure that can be very affordable to allow for significant write-offs, and you're off to the races. A plan, as Matt said, to adopt, we charge around $500. So very affordable. You re-up it every year. And when you do your annual consult to look at your strategy for the upcoming year, you can tell the tax attorney, hey, I want to update a doc. And we do it at a discount the second and third year because we've already got your doc. But there's changes every year, typically, with Joe Biden is fiddling with medical expenses right now with his administrative proposal. So you always want to adjust your plan every year. But SCHRA is for small business owners only. If you don't have rentals or a small business, you ain't doing the HRA.
Yeah.
Notice how I threw in that little grammar from the country. You ain't doing it.
That's good. Is that to make me feel better?
Yeah. It was intentional.
I appreciate it. You're such a good co-host. Yeah. Okay. So that's health reimbursement arrangement. And if you only have a couple thousand medical a year, it's not worth doing typically. You want to be maybe $4,000 or $5,000 of medical a year before you start thinking of the health reimbursement arrangement. There's probably some other strategies that like the HSA we'd want you to consider first. So let's talk about the HSA actually. This is health savings account.
Matt, actually, let me propose, let's stick with business owners for a moment.
Okay.
If we could. So business owners, the HRA is one of your options if you have a lot of expenses. Number two, something you need to catalog for yourself. You can write off 100% of your medical premiums in a small business, even if you don't cover other employees. That was a beautiful part of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, is that you can pay for your 100% of your personal insurance premium plans for you and your family in a business, and you got tons of other employees. It's okay. So you don't have to cover your employees to write off your own health insurance premiums. So remember, premiums are separate from healthcare expenses. I don't think we need to explain the difference there, but your health insurance premiums to an insurance company are a write-off. Can I add something else, Matt?
Yeah. So I actually, I have one other thing for business owners too. So,
I've got a couple. I got a couple more too. Right. So keep going.
Well, I'll have one. Do you want me to throw mine in now?
Yeah. Yeah. Throw it in the circle.
Okay.
Is that what you say? Throw it in the hat.
I want to talk about cost sharing. All these, metaphors are terrible.
Yeah, we're terrible.
I want to talk about the cost sharing ministry. So you tell me when you're ready for that, because that's a good strategy that I think a lot of business owners have actually gone to.
Yeah.
Not from a tax strategy, just from a financial strategy, in that it's a more affordable way for many people. So
yeah, go ahead. I love it.
Let's say you're a low cost medical person. All right. And you're like, man, healthcare just as a self-employed person is expensive. There's the mandate on it. I don't want to worry about penalties with that. Trump removed the penalty on it. We'll see. I don't know if it's came back yet with Biden. I actually haven't paid attention. but if you remember from the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, if you don't have health insurance, you have to pay a fee. There's a penalty for that. Right. And a lot of cost sharing ministries popped up.
Yeah.
A lot of cost sharing ministries popped up because of that as an alternative to say, hey, I don't want to go buy these Cadillac insurance policies you have to buy now. I just want a cost sharing ministry that's cheaper. And these are exempt from the Obamacare rules now. So if the penalties ever come back, but under cost sharing ministry, you could be paying like $100 a month and you have a cost sharing arrangement. It's not insurance, but it's cost sharing. And these are pools of people who are putting money in. I used this for a while for me when healthcare in Arizona went through the roof because we had one insurance provider left offering individual plans. As a self-employed person, it was a joke. And so I went to a cost sharing ministry. So, but this is a good option. It's cost sharing ministries. Christian healthcare was one of the big ones out there. Dave Ramsey, you know, is always touting that one, but that's the one I actually used. And basically it's not insurance. Like I don't get to go to the doctor for free, But if there was ever an expense over $5,000, a one-time thing over $5,000, it would cover it. And I'd submit that expense, I'd get it covered. Now, I never had to use it because I never had one thing over five, but it was a way where I could financially reduce my expense of medical, but still have something there if something really went bad, which is kind of what insurance should be in my mind. Like, right? Like, I think our medical insurance is messed up. I need insurance to, like, when there's a big thing that I can't cover, I don't need it to go to the doctor to save $50 or $100 on an office visit. I need it for like a $5,000 plus thing. That's when you need insurance. And so that's really what the cost sharing ministries have moved to. So now I don't get a deduction for paying that though. Even if I'm a business owner, I can't take it as a business expense. Okay. These are non-deductible, but the costs of them, you know, you may have $1,000 premium for health insurance and maybe $100 cost for the cost sharing ministry. So they're a fraction of the cost. So it could be a good solution for those that are healthy, haven't had to use insurance a lot, but still want to manage that cost and that spend that you have for healthcare.
Yeah. And I want to throw out a couple other perspectives on this. Remember, everybody's different. Every state's different. And you don't have to be a member of anybody's church to join it. Anybody can join these little sharing groups. I guess you could be even an atheist and they'll let you in.
Yeah.
Very inclusive.
Well, yeah. There's different ones. So you do actually need to find one that aligns with, because you actually have to sign off saying that I believe in these principles and stuff. So, yeah.
Okay. So keep in mind this too. There's a lot of differing perspectives on this. Sometimes people see a 90% savings rate. Like Matt was paying $1,000 premiums. Maybe you got a Christian sharing plan for $100. I'd say maybe the average might be 2/3 in savings. So if you have a $1,500 plan, you might get a cost sharing for $500. So there's savings. Yeah. So you need to compare. Everybody's different, so don't hold us to that. And also, these sharing ministry plans can also be different. Some have a lower deductible than a higher deductible. I've had doctors say they use the cost sharing ministry for all the little things, and then they have a catastrophic or an Aflac type of secondary policy if I were to get cancer. They've had nightmare experiences where, let's say all of a sudden one of your kids got leukemia and it was a $75,000 bill. This cost sharing ministry may go, we tap out at X dollars, or we don't cover this or cover that. Yeah. So you want to really look at the fine print and make sure you have a safety net for the big stuff. So there's different ways to do it. Some people might combine an insurance plan of a more affordable provisions, if you will, with a cost sharing ministry. So they can get the best of both worlds, but the insurance is a write-off, cost sharing ministry is not. So
just
shot.
So. Yeah, I liked it for myself. It was a good option for me because there wasn't a lot of good health insurance options in Arizona at the time. This was very early after Obamacare. But I've since moved back and just do traditional health insurance because now there's more options. I can get better. I can get a higher, deductible plan. I actually do an HSA plan now. It's a little cheaper and I can throw money in an HSA, which we'll be talking about here in a moment. But the cost sharing ministry, I think, is one that a lot of people, in fact, a lot of my friends that are small business owners, that's who told me about it. My auto insurance agent that's a small business owner is the one who told me about it, insurance guy. And a lot of my other small business owner friends have actually gone to that as a way to just keep the cost down. But so consider that option for those that have lower medical, no healthcare issues you're aware of. And it can be there for the catastrophic stuff, but Mark, you're right. There is, like, sometimes if it's over 100,000 or 125, they have the ability to cap it if they can't cover it. So,
yeah. Now here's another thought. Some of you may be thinking, well, hold up. Matt said he would pay into this sharing ministry, but he'd go out of pocket for the initial $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah.
And that was the way to save money. Well, could Matt combine an HRA with a cost sharing ministry? Yes. Now, he could not have the HRA pay for the cost-sharing contributions. Again, that's not deductible. That's just kind of a pool. That's five people getting together and say, hey, let's throw money on the table and we'll all share on our medical costs. Except there's a few other zeros, not just five people. Now, but if you want to do an HRA, Matt could do an HRA for all those little expenses that add up during the year. Dental, chiropractic, eyes. Massages, who knows, all the different things that he needs to deal with in his body. I went to reach for my back.
Okay.
I've had back prescription surgery. Drugs.
So the massages are, you know, doctor prescribed. So
yeah. So lots of things. If you go to a massage envy, they'll ask, do you have an HSA or an HRA that you plan on paying with? So, but anyway, so you can use an HRA for any expense that's not the contribution to the sharing plan. You can still write off premiums to an insurance company and use the HRA. Now, see, people, these are the little maneuvers. You're like, oh my gosh, this is so confusing. It's really not once you get your head around it. Because what I tell people is start with a big whiteboard. Either you have insurance or a sharing ministry. You know, how are you paying for the future possible catastrophe? So that's insurance or a sharing plan. Then I put a line down the middle, and then I say over here, these are your healthcare expenses. Now, this is where I love publication 502 of the IRS code. And this publication gives you a list of all the things you could write off. And it's pretty comprehensive. Now, we joked around at the beginning, elective plastic surgery is not a write-off, but reconstructive plastic surgery is, and drug rehab programs, any sort of addiction program, so many different things can be a write-off. Travel and mileage and hotel when you're at the hospital, if you've got some sort of cancer issue and everybody's camped out helping. So there's a lot of things in publication 502 that are a write-off. And that's another perspective. We got to make sure we know what's insurance, what's a sharing, and then on the other side of the whiteboard, what are all these write-offs that I need to track, and what can I do? An HRA being maybe the first one as a business owner.
Yeah. Okay.
What does that bring us to? What do you think? HSA?
Let's talk about the HSA, the health savings account. This is probably the most common, most well-known for a good reason. Now, it doesn't work with a cost-sharing ministry, as we've talked about here, just to parlay that. So you can't combo a cost-sharing ministry with an HSA. An HSA, again, this is how we're going to deal with expenses, but in order to qualify for an HSA, you must have a high-deductible insurance plan. Okay, and these are qualifying high-deductible insurance plans, which are basically $1,400 deductible individual or $2,800 family. That's the 2021 numbers. So I must have insurance in order to qualify for the HSA.
And before we go farther, let's juxtapose or compare it to the FSA. Because I think a lot of people say, well, what about this use it or lose it thing that I have at work? That's called a flexible spending account. So there's three acronyms, everybody. There's no more after this. Let's just get them on the table. There's the HRA, the reimbursement arrangement we just talked about. There's the flexible spending account that you might have at work where it's a use it or lose it. And those are limited this year to, I think, about $2,750. They're kind of crappy. They got really, really limited in the last couple rounds of legislation. And then the third one is this HSA. And so there are three different things. Could you have all three?
Geez.
Yes. Pardon?
Sorry, that was OMG. That was a little another three-letter acronym joke there.
Yeah, no, I hear you. You could have all, but you know, the beauty of this is if you fit the model, you could have all three of these. For example, some people go, well, I'm going to have a high deductible plan, but my wife and kids are going to do the cost-sharing ministry. Sure. Now you get the single contribution to the HSA. And your job may provide a high deductible plan that's free, but it's totally expensive to throw your family on there. So you go, oh, I'll go cost sharing ministry on the family. I'll go with a high deductible, do an HSA with our side hustle. We could do an HRA. And oh, I got a little FSA at work too. So there are so many different little ways that you can bite at the apple here. It's just so exciting. So anyway, I just wanted to get FSA on the table. So HSA, and I'm going to set the tone for Matt here. These are like a medical Roth. That's what I love them for. Would you agree? You want to throw that as your stepping stone?
Yeah, the HSA is for someone who wants it all. You know, you just want everything. You want tax deductions. You don't want to pay tax as you grow your money and your investments that you're investing your HSA in. And you don't want to have to pay tax on the way out either. And you don't even want to have to wait till you're 59 and a half. You want to spend it when you have it. All right. That's the HSA. You put money in, you get a tax deduction. You invest it and it grows, you don't pay tax. You spend it on medical, it comes out totally tax-free. Who cares what age you are?
Woof.
I mean, we all have medical.
Yeah.
So Let me walk you through how I've used it over the years.
A couple other facts. Before you give an example, let me say this too. You could do it at any income bracket.
Right.
You could be a billionaire and have an HSA. And you
don't
can
itemize
use
this, that the money you put in, it's coming off on this above the line sort of type deduction.
Front so page. Yeah. Yep. Good point. It is not a use it or lose it plan. When that money goes, it can stay in there the rest of your life. And there's no waiting period like a Roth where you have to start the Roth and wait 5 years or whatever. I could put money in an HSA, get a write-off, and pull it out tomorrow for a cavity and can pay for any of those medical expenses too.
Yeah. So example. Exactly how I was using it. So when I started using an HSA, that's how I used it. I would just throw money into it as I knew a medical expense was coming up, you know? And it was like, and you know, you could do this with a debit card or you can do a reimbursement mechanism. That's what we do at Directed IRA. Just give us your medical expenses at the end of the year and we'll cut you a check back out of your HSA. Easy. But what I was doing, I wasn't really focused on growing it at that time. I was focused on paying off my student loans and everything. This is back early days as an attorney. Yeah. But I had medical, I had kids, they were doing orthodontist. I mean, we're at the dentist, you know, all the typical stuff. And I was like annoyed that I wasn't getting a deduction for this. So I would use the HSA. It's like I had $1,000 coming up in medical that month or something I knew. I threw $1,000 in, we spent it right back out. Now, if I skip that step, if I just paid the doctor $1,000 out of my regular personal checking account or debit card, whatever it is, that $1,000 is gone. I didn't get a deduction for that. I had to have the health savings account in place in order to use those funds.
Yes, but just to what Matt was, I thought you were going to say is, let's say I just went and paid for the orthodontics out of my pocket for $1,000. If you do have an HSA plan,
yes,
you can put the money in and reimburse yourself the next day. Yeah. So it's not fatal that way.
Yeah, as long as you have the HSA account, yes.
Yes, but I like what Matt said. If I don't have an HSA, $1,000 is gone. I have no HRA plan, $1,000, no write-off. But if I can either use the HRA, HSA.
Yeah, and I think because some people think about it, Matt, I don't have money to invest. I don't worry about that. Like I'm working on student loans or I'm throwing all my money into my business. Don't worry about that. You're spending money on healthcare. Like just get the money in that you can then use to expense and for the medical. So just make sure you have the health savings account so you can use that process of spending on the medical. Now, there's the next level of people for the HSA that is, okay, I want to grow and invest this amount for the long haul for future medical. Okay, because there's two different people that use these accounts. And that's, of course, we get all the self-directing and all that great stuff. And Mark and I have a separate episode just on health savings accounts on the Directed IRA podcast that goes into way more detail on health savings accounts. We can do justice for today, though.
Yeah, and I like that. That's a nice pitch to remind all of you. Matt and I record two podcast shows a week, one that's more general in nature for the investor, small business owner, average American, all of us, just like you and me, everybody listening. We're just trying to protect wealth, save taxes, save money. Some of these healthcare strategies we're sharing are about just saving money, just being aware of what's going on, watching, being engaged. But that second thought of, well, I'm healthy now, I can get a high deductible plan, lower premium, and I can sock away $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, get a write-off, and someday I'm going to need it. More Americans pull money out of their retirement account to pay for medical expenses than to live on. Isn't that scary? So people are saving in their retirement to pay for medical. Stop! Save for medical in your HSA, save for retirement in your Roth, and you get the bang of both bucks. So you pretty much just doubled your contribution limit every year by using the HSA for what you might think you'd use the Roth for anyway. Oh, so awesome.
Yeah. Now you can put $3,600 a year, these are the 2021 numbers, into your HSA, single, or if you're family, this could be married or you and a kid or more, you know, family would be $7,200. So, and that's the contribution amounts you can put in, and you could go back and forth between family or single, you know, as the case may be in your life. So, But that's the annual contribution limit. So $7,200 for those family, that's a $7,200 tax deduction now on your tax return. It's one of those things at the end of the year, we're always telling clients, hey, you want year-end tax planning strategies. This is one of the things to do. Make sure you have the high deductible plan because you got to have that in place before I think December 1st in order to do the HSA for that year. And then let's get $7,200 in there. We know you're going to have that medical next year, the next 2 years at a minimum. And if you don't, great. Let's invest this thing and grow it for all your future medical.
Yeah. And you have until April 15th to make that contribution. Now let's step back for a minute too and think strategy. I had a phone call yesterday with the client. Actually it was in a webinar. It was a group webinar. That's right. And he said, this is on the insurance question. So let me, before I give the insurance question, let's digress. To have an HSA, you have to be under age 65. No, let me start over. To contribute to an HSA, you have to be under age 65. I can contribute up until age 65 and have a $500,000 sitting in my HSA to use for medical. Cool. You can still use it after age 65. I just can't pass go on the Monopoly board and put in another 34, 72 or whatever. The beauty of that too is that if I don't use it for medical, if I really build it up, don't stress, it goes to your spouse's HSA. If you and your spouse don't use it for healthcare, you can always pull it out like a regular IRA. If you die before you use it all, it can go to your kid's IRA and is treated like an IRA. So you're never going to lose this money. That's the beauty of it. So now here's the question I had the other day, yesterday. Mark, I'm 65 and I'm now on Medicaid and Social Security. So I don't have the ability to go buy insurance, but his wife was like 52. She was like 10 to 15 years younger than him. And so he said, how do I get her insurance and can she do an HSA? And the answer was yes to both. You can get insurance in your small business, but now you have to hire her. Normally, I don't have you hire your spouse. If you have a joint plan, you cover each other, and the main working spouse can just take the only salary and you're good. Now, if you have an LLC, not an S Corp, you don't have to put your spouse on payroll, but you have to have profit in the business, and your spouse can have the insurance write-off, even if you're not on the plan. Let me repeat that. You can have your spouse write off health insurance premiums, even if you're not on the health insurance plan, but you're an owner of the business. That's tricky. That was the question in the webinar. I was nice. Like, yeah, you can do that. The other point was, can she do an HSA even though I timed out? I'm over age 65. Can she do an HSA? And the answer is yes. She could do a single contribution HSA. Well, yeah. We're there.
Okay.
So age plays into this.
Yeah, let me give another twist on age too, because you mentioned 65, and I just had this question come up a while ago. What about Medicare premiums? You know, Part B and D. Yes. And now, once you get on Social Security, you start having your Medicare premiums actually deducted out of your Social Security. But yeah. The question I had was, well, can I use my HSA to pay that? Yes, you can reimburse yourself from your HSA for your Medicare Parts B and D premiums. So this is if my parents have been hitting, you know, this age of, do I take Social Security or not? And now I qualify for Medicare and so I can stop working. I don't need insurance, you know, and this is this age. It's kind of interesting. And for those of you getting to that close to that number, something you gotta be thinking about. But the HSA, if you've built this up, it's going to come out and it's going to you're basically reimbursing yourself. So you're getting Medicare now for free, rather than it coming, getting deducted out of your Social Security. Now, supplemental insurance, other things that's insurance you don't get a deduction for, but they have allowed Medicare premiums to be something you can reimburse yourself from your HSA. So cool.
I love it. Now let's take a breath for a moment. This was a lot of info. This was like drinking from a fire hose in the medical, which we all hate generally, the medical expense topic, insurance premiums. A lot of people just get anxiety thinking about the cost of it. It really is devastating to a lot of families. So some of you may be thinking, gosh, you spent the bulk of the time on HSAs. We didn't mean to do that. It's just that they probably are the most creative, lucrative, and most successful way to build wealth. And so we want to make sure that we are careful with thinking that everything revolves around the HSA as well, but it is probably the most fun and creative. But do I some years do the HRA and not the HSA? Yes. And vice versa. Can I always make sure I'm writing off my medical insurance premiums and do an HSA and an HRA? Yes. If I'm single, is it going to be maybe a different perspective? If I'm married, how much are the premiums? Should I go with a cost sharing strategy to just save on expenses and say, I don't need the write-off. Hell, I'm saving more even if you take the write-off into account. And so you have to kind of spreadsheet this out once in a while. So everybody, don't stress. Talk to someone that knows your tax return. This is what our tax attorneys and CPAs are trained to do. If your accountant isn't having this conversation with you, you don't have to fire your accountant, but at least get the consult from someone that does know it and then take it back to them.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, this is a big topic, and it's one we are all spending money on. We just want to do it in a more tax-efficient way to keep more money in your pocket. And there's a lot of things out there. That's one thing our government has done is they've tried to create mechanisms to help you save on medical and healthcare expenses. And but you just have to take a proactive – you have to have a plan, whether you're doing the HRA because you're a business owner and you've got good medical – you know, you got higher medical expenses – whether you're doing an HSA account and saving for the long haul or using it to spend immediately so you get a deduction for the money you're throwing in. I mean, these are all things that you can't do it after the fact. Force you with healthcare to make a plan, put it in place, and then do your medical through that. And it is a little complicated at first, but eventually you're just going to keep doing the same thing over and over again. What you did last year, you're going to do this year. It's going to save you a couple thousand bucks at least a year in taxes if you're doing it right. And at the end of the day, this is a lot of money back in your pocket just by doing a few simple steps.
Yeah, love it. Well, everybody, thank you for putting up with our dumb jokes and our unique way at maybe tackling what we think are exciting topics. We're grateful to be here with you. We love this doing this podcast. Probably one of the most favorite things I do. And it's the time I spend more time with Matt doing our podcast than anything else. We do after the podcast is over, we're like, we got to talk.
I know.
Strategize.
Yeah. So, I always have a great time. But thank you, everyone. And go to mainstreetbusiness.com to sign up for the newsletter to get updates on what we're doing, the workshops we talked about, upcoming podcast episodes, podcasts you might have missed, articles we got going on. There's a plethora of information that you'll find on the newsletter. And we'll see you back next week on the Main Street Business Podcast.